Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, fifth chapter, text 11. So, yeah, move that one forward. I think text 10. 10 was done. Okay. Alrighty. Okay. Nayad vachas chitra padam harer yaso. Jigat pavitram pragrini takari chit. Tadbaya samtirtam usanti manasa. Nayatra hamsa niraman yisikshaya. Nayad vachas chitra padam harer yaso. Jigat pavitram pagrini takari chit. Tadvaya sam tirtam usanti manasa. Nayatra hamsa niramantu sikshaya. Nayad vachas chitra padam harer yaso. Jigat pavitram pragrini takari chit. Tadvaya sam tirtam usanti manasa. Nayatra hamsa niramantu sikshaya. Vaishnavis. Nah. Not. Yut. That. Bachaha. Vocabulary. Chitrapadam. Decorative. Hare. Of the Lord. Yasha. Glories. Jigat. Universe. Pavitram. Sanctified. Pragrinita. Described. Karichit. Hardly. Tat. That. Vayasam. Crows. Tirtham. Place of pilgrimage. Usanti. Think. Manasa. Saintly persons. Na. Not. Yatra. Where. Hamsa. All perfect beings. Niramanti. Take pleasure. Usikshaya. Those who reside in the transcendental abode. Those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered by saintly persons to be like unto a place of pilgrimage for crows. Since the all-perfect persons are inhabitants of the transcendental abode, they do not derive any pleasure there. Purport. Crows and swans are not birds of the same feather because of their different mental attitudes. The fruit of workers or passionate men are compared to the crows, whereas the all-perfect saintly persons are compared to the swans. The crows take pleasure in a place where garbage is thrown out, just as the passionate fruit of workers take pleasure in wine and woman and places for gross sensual pleasure. The swans do not take pleasure in the places where crows are assembled for conferences and meetings. They are instead seen in the atmosphere of natural scenic beauty, where there are transparent reservoirs of water nicely decorated with stems of lotus flowers in variegated colors of natural beauty. That is the difference between the two classes of birds. Nature has influenced different species of life with different mentalities, and it is not possible to bring them up in the same rank and file. Bring them up into the same rank and file. Similarly, there are different kinds of literature for different types of men of different mentality. Mostly, the market literatures which attract men of the crows categories are literatures containing refused remnants of sensuous topics. They are generally known as mundane talks in relation with the gross body and subtle mind. They are full of subject matter described in decorative language, full of mundane similes and metaphorical arrangements. Yet, with all that, they do not glorify the Lord. Such poetry and prose on any subject matter is considered decoration of a dead body. Spiritually advanced men who are compared to the swans do not take pleasure in such dead literatures, which are sources of pleasure for men who are spiritually dead. These literatures in the mode of passion and ignorance are distributed under different labels, but they can hardly help the spiritual urge of the human being, and thus the swan-like spiritually advanced men have nothing to do with them. Such spiritually advanced men are also called manasa, because they always keep up the standard of transcendental voluntary service to the Lord on the spiritual plane. This completely forbids fruitive activities for gross bodily sense gratification or subtle speculation of the material egoistic mind. Social literary men, scientists, mundane poets, theoretical philosophers, and politicians who are completely absorbed in the material advancement of sense pleasure are all dolls of the material energy. They take pleasure in a place where rejected subject matters are thrown. According to Swami Sridhar, this is the pleasure of the prostitute hunters. But literatures which describe the glories of the Lord are enjoyed by the Paramahamsas who have grasped the essence of human activities. So I actually prepared the wrong verse. I prepared the next verse. So I surrender. I could try to say something on this one, and I'll just be winging it. Or if you, with your permission, I could read the next one. Okay. Okay, no problem. Om Aginatamidam Dasha Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshmi Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmat Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upakadamayam Dadati Swaparantikam. Okay. Well, this verse is making the point that there's a difference between mundane literature and transcendental literature. And the mundane literature is a place of pilgrimage for the crows, whereas the transcendental literature is for the Paramahamsas, the swan-like pure devotees. And there's a big reason why these literatures are so different. And that's very nicely stated in this conversation between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya in the Madhulila, I think it's volume... Well, it's chapter 8, and it's text 200. You know, Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya are having this conversation. Lord Chaitanya is inquiring from Ramananda Roy about what is the goal of life and how do we reach it. And it's going back and forth. And at one point, Ramananda Roy, Lord Chaitanya is asking another question, and Ramananda Roy goes, okay, look, it's not me that's speaking. I'll answer, but I just want you to, it's you that's speaking through me, you know, so whatever I say, I'm not responsible. I'm just the instrument. I know you're speaking through me. So this is, and Prabhupada, in the purport to that verse, it's a very nice, interesting insight on that point about how the pure devotee is actually an instrument for the Supreme Personality of God. I'll read it. An excerpt from that. It says here, because a Vaishnava is surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his talks, which is the word that appears there, and I'm going to add his talks and his writing are spiritually potent. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text 10, the Supreme Lord says, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upyantate. To those who are constantly devoted to worshiping me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. End quote. When a pure Vaishnava speaks or writes, he speaks perfectly. How is this? His speech is managed by Krishna himself from within the heart. So that's really significant right there. So when a pure devotee speaks or writes, we should understand that his speech or his writing is managed by Krishna himself from within the heart. In other words, it's perfect. The speech is perfect, the writing is perfect, because it's managed by Krishna from within the heart. Goes on to say, Sri Ramananda Roy accepts this benediction from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, he admits that whatever he was speaking was not derived from his own intelligence. Rather, everything was coming from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. According to the Bhagavad Gita, the translation is, I am seated in everyone's heart, and for me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of the Vedanta and the knower of the Vedas. Now, this is Prabhupada again. It says, all intelligence emanates from the Supreme Personality of God, the Supersoul within the heart of everyone. Non-devotees want to ask the Supreme Lord for sense gratification. Therefore, non-devotees come under the influence of Maya, the illusory energy. A devotee, however, is directed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and comes under the influence of Yoga Maya. Consequently, there is a gulf of difference between the statements made by verbally or in writing, statements made by a devotee and those made by a non-devotee. So, in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Mahatmanas tumam parta daivim prakriti mashruta bhajanti ananyamanaso gyatva bhuta dimavyadam. That he explains how the pure devotee, the Mahatma, or the pure devotee, is daivi prakriti mashruta. He's under the influence of the internal potency. This is just elaborating, same point, that therefore everything that the pure devotee speaks, everything that the pure devotee writes, is perfect. It's transcendental. It's transcendental. And that's one of the big points that's being made here, that I'm not going to go on to tomorrow's verse because I know I'm going to get my hand slapped if I do. So that's the big point here, that this is the big difference between the words that are describing the glories of the Lord, and that's why they're able to sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, because they're not ordinary words. You know, these are pure transcendental sound vibrations. As simple as they might sound, or as complex as they might sound, they're pure transcendental sound vibrations, and they're considered by saintly persons. Okay. Those words which do not, yeah. So the pure saintly persons, they know the difference. They know the difference. You know? So therefore they discriminate. And we're only interested to hear Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitte Te Kodi Akya. Our only wish is to have our consciousness purified by the words emanating from his lotus mouth. That's, we sing that every morning, right? Why? Because we know it's pure transcendental sound vibration. Anything else is just going to, contaminate the consciousness. I think in the Bhagavad Gita, I forget which chapter in this verse, Harinam Anukirtanam explains how the brahmachari engages in Harinam Anukirtanam. It's an austerity performed by brahmacharis. They only allow themselves to take in the transcendental sound vibration, chanting the holy name, shastra, like that. And Vaisheshika gave a very interesting example, metaphor or analogy on this point. If you walk outside this door and you go about 20 feet, you'll hit the street. If you make a left and go down about 30 feet, you'll hit a drain. And there's a thing on top of that drain that says, drains to the ocean. See, so it's making the point that whatever water goes in, or whatever water or whatever goes in there, is draining to the ocean. So it's basically saying, don't pollute the ocean. You know, just only let the rainwater go down there. Don't dump your garbage down there because we don't want to pollute the ocean. Everything that comes in here is going right to the ocean. So in the same way, everything that goes in here is going here. You see? So whatever you take in here, it's going to go in here to your heart, to your consciousness. So do you want to just put any old garbage in there? Garbage in, garbage out. If you're going to allow yourself to hear any old garbage, that's what your heart's just going to be, your consciousness is going to become cluttered with that. See, that's why, as devotees, we try to be really careful about that. There's no need. Prabhupada said this, I think it's in the Nectar of Devotion, that there's no injunction against hearing ordinary news. Remember something like that? There is something like that. I think there's a sentence in the Nectar of Devotion where it says, but minimal. We really want to be careful because you've got to understand everything you hear that you're not hearing from devotees and pure devotees, it's saturated. It's saturated with the three modes of material nature. And these days, it's saturated not with so much with the mode of goodness, saturated with the mode of passion, and saturated with the mode of ignorance. In other words, your conscience is becoming polluted. You know, if you're giving submissive oral reception to, this, that, and the other thing, it's just like you're opening up you're pouring sewage down that drain into the ocean. You want to pour sewage into, No. See, so as devotees, we have to be very careful of that. We have to be very careful not to, that's the first step. The first step in becoming a preacher is to become serious about what we're hearing ourselves. Because if we're not, determined to just, maintain this, Vaisheshika Prabhu has this other saying, keep the vibration going. And if you've ever been around him when he's doing one of his yatras or something like that, he always tries, and even when he comes here and he gives seminars, he doesn't like a lull. If there's a gap in the program or something like that, he has this expression, keep the vibration going. So, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He gets everybody chanting like that, or, he'll immediately start chanting something or reading something. That's the idea, to always be hearing that transcendental sound vibrations, because as we've heard so many times already, and just in the little bit of the Bhagavatam that we've gone through, Srinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Ridyantakstohyabhadanani Vidunoti Siddhitsatam, that this Krishna Kata purifies the consciousness. So the basic principle is we want to be 100% absorbed in Krishna Kata, and 0% absorbed in Gramya Katha. Gramya Katha is the opposite. Gramya Katha is village talk. And there's a famous instructional, I think, Lord Chaitanya gave to Raghunath Das Goswami, where he's told him, he forbid him, don't hear Gramya Katha. That was one of the duties of that he explained when he was explaining his duties to him in the renounced sort of life. That was, I think, the first and foremost. Gramya Katha na kaibe, or something, right? Don't hear the Gramya Katha, because it's just going to take your consciousness down, whereas Krishna Katha is going to purify your consciousness and bring it up. So that's really important. And another important point is that comes to my mind is the important. Okay, once we're established ourselves in taking, how would you say it, taking shelter of the Krishna Katha in a serious way. It starts very early in the morning. Actually, for some reason, this thought popped into my mind this morning at Mangalarti. I was there and I looked around and I could see, well, yeah, there was a good number of devotees there, but there's some few people missing. And I thought to myself, this phrase just popped into my mind. Breakfast begins at 4:30. No, everybody's there for breakfast, right? We should start thinking. Breakfast begins at 4 o'clock. Now, you got to get up. It's not if you to miss the program and just show up for. That's not the standard. The standard is 4 o'clock. That's the latest. We should be rising by 4 o'clock, and the latest, and then immediately. I remember when I first became a dota, they taught us as soon as you wake up, boom, down, hit the deck, you hit the floor, you pay your obeisances to your spiritual master, and then immediately start chanting. It's not like you just pay your, but get up and, here we go, No, you're supposed to immediately get absorbed. Pay your obeisances, say pranams, start chanting, or listen to something, put on some transcendental sound vibration. But from the moment you wake up, which the earlier the better, to the moment you take rest, you should be trying to be absorbed in transcendental sound vibration. The only time that we don't is when, if we're out there preaching. If we have to do something that requires our full attention or that we're talking to people, okay, then. But even then, what we're saying to them should be as close as much as possible transcendental sound vibration. That's very important. And if we're serious about that, we dedicate ourselves to that principle of shravanam, hearing, taking in the transcendental sound vibration, then we're going to be able to do kirtanam. Actually, Prabhupada said that himself. Prabhupada said that himself about himself. He said, because I was serious about shravanam, my spiritual master, he said a couple different things. He said, because I was serious about shravanam, now I'm serious about kirtanam. And another occasion, or maybe it's the same occasion, just a different part of the same speech, there, he made the point that my spiritual master noted, this boy likes to hear. I've marked him. This boy likes to hear. And Prabhupada gave that as his qualification, that he was serious about hearing. Oh, yeah, and then he went on to say, because I was serious about hearing, now I'm serious about chanting. You see? So there's a relationship there, cause and effect relationship. If you're serious about hearing, then you're going to be serious about chanting. And if you're not serious about hearing, meaning you're not hearing at every opportunity, or you're allowing yourself to hear things there's absolutely no necessity to hear, then it's going to be harder for you to be serious about chanting. Okay? And chanting is, that's the second part of our life. It's like we're meant to try to become Krishna conscious and try to give other people Krishna consciousness. And in order to do that effectively, we have to do this first part. We have to avoid this Gramya Katha, take shelter and absorb ourselves in Krishna Katha, and then try to give it to others. And if we can do that, that is the highest perfection of life. It's such a simple thing. We're being offered here an opportunity to come to the highest perfection of life. Now, is that my opinion? I mean, I'm saying that, but you might be sitting there thinking, okay, Bhrigupati Das, but that's your... No, it's not just my opinion. That's the opinion of the gopis. That's the opinion of... I'll read something to you. This is... this passage appeared in the conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy and Maharaj Pratyapruja. I think it also appeared in that conversation as well. But it originally appeared in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The gopis were speaking to Krishna, and they made the statement, Tavakatam ritam tapsajivanam kavibir iditam kalmasa apaham shravanamangalam srimat atitam bhuvigrananti ye buddhida jajana. The translation is, my lord, the nectar of your words and the descriptions of your activities are the life and soul of those who are always aggrieved in this material world. These narrations are transmitted by exalted personalities, and they eradicate all sinful reactions. Okay. Whoever hears these narrations attains all good fortune. So we've got a big responsibility, because this is describing the benefit that people experience or receive just by hearing these narrations. They eradicate all sinful reactions. Whoever hears these narrations attains all good fortunes. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. And we've already heard the explanation for how that is, because whatever's coming from the pure devotee has that spiritual power. Then here's the final sentence. Those who spread the message of Godhead are certainly the most munificent welfare workers. See, so it's the topmost thing. It's the topmost thing. So here we are, you know, little old Hare Krishnas, but we're being given the opportunity to achieve the highest perfection of life by this simple process of hearing, being serious about hearing, and then taking it and giving it to others. That's it. According to the gopis, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, that somebody who does that is the highest welfare worker. But we won't be able to do that unless we're serious about avoiding the Gramya Katha and be taking shelter of Krishna Katha. That's the qualification. You have to be serious about that, and then you'll be able to do this effectively, because it says here, these narrations are transmitted by exalted personalities. So we have to aspire to become exalted personalities, not for our own acclaim or aggrandizement, but just in order to be able to effectively do this service, we got to get purified. You see, we got to get purified, because it's not a question of like scholarship or erudition or anything like that. It's a question of purity of consciousness. If you got purity is the force. See, so if we have the purity, if we're actually taking shelter of chanting 16 rounds, following the four regulative principles, coming to the program, trying to serve the Vaishnav, trying to avoid offenses, you know, all the things, just the basic things. If we're actually taking shelter of that, the basic program that Prabhupada has given us, then we're going to have spiritual potency. We're going to get purified, and when we're purified, we're going to have spiritual potency. And we're going to be able to. We're going to be effective. We're going to be empowered, and we're going to be effective in attracting other people to try Krishna consciousness. So that's the formula, and that's the perfection of life for us. So what time is it? 8:05.
Let me see if I have anything else that I can come up with.
I'll stop there. Everybody, yeah. Another good time. Okay, that wasn't too bad. Considering I didn't know what I was going to say 5 seconds before I said it. Good.
I know a few devotees off the top of that I could think of. They, on the plea of devotional service, they read mundane books from non-devotees. Like, I was just talking to a devotee a couple of days ago, and he was saying that he's reading some leadership book, but it's from some guy. He's not a devotee. But he was saying he's doing it to help him for his preaching, teaching about leadership within devotional community. So,
well, you know, as part of your service, if you have to read some quote-unquote mundane literature, because you have to learn how to do something, but and that instruction is coming from a bona fide authority, then you're okay. Like if Savas told me, Brigu, you know, you should read that book by Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Actually, I once got that instruction, not from Savas, but from Hari Sari. he was the GBC in Australia at one point, and I guess he was really impressed by that book, and he just thought it was a good idea for all the managers and Sankirtan devotees to read that book. Amala Bhaktamaraj would remember that book. He's from that era. How to Win Friends and Influence People was a big famous book at one point. So I thought, okay, well, I'm getting instructions, so I read it. You know, and I didn't, I mean, the instruction came from a higher authority. So if you're, you know, for your service, if you're instructed by a higher authority that you have to read something mundane, I guess that's okay. But on your own, you know, if you're just kind of like speculating and thinking, well, you know, maybe I could, if I read this, I could use it in Krishna's service. That's a little, it's not as good. It can be risky. You got to be careful. You can get caught out. Maya is very tricky. You know, Maya, I mean, I'll give you an example, okay? Last night when I was preparing the wrong class, at one point in tomorrow's purpa, which I'm just going to mention one little teeny thing, there was a point about, Prabhupada made the point about how the Indians, you know, it was the responsibility of Indians to take, you know, disseminate this message, translate this message all over the world. And it was because they didn't do that, Prabhupada said they failed in this, they failed in that regard. And as a result of that, you know, things are pretty messed up. So I was thinking, I was going to kind of make it almost like a joke. I was going to present, see, so therefore, the problem, all the problems in the world today can be traced back to irresponsible Indians. Because, you know, Prabhupada was kind of indicating that in the purport. And then I was going to explain, you know, put it in proper perspective. But then when I thought of it, I thought, yeah, well, wait a second. I said, just, for some reason, this thought popped into my mind, like, okay, you know, blaming the Indians for not doing that, for everything. All the problems in the world today are blamed upon the Indians. And then this analogy came to my mind about, yeah, that's like, you know, how the Christians blame the Jews for killing Christ. For some reason, that popped into my head. I just thought, like, it's just, you know, it's analogous in some way. You know, it's called deicide. You know, the Jews get blamed. The Jewish race gets blamed as a whole. It stopped about, you know, 19. I can't remember. The Pope came out with some decree. Anyway, what happened was when I started thinking about that, and I thought, that's an interesting thought. I wonder if I could use that in the class somehow. So I just Googled it, you know, Jews killing Christ. And I, you know, saw an article and I read that. And then it kind of talked about that, and it talked about how the Jews have been persecuted all throughout history. I'm from a Jewish background. So I thought, well, it's kind of interesting. You know, I never knew all this stuff, so I, you know, kind of read a little bit about that. And before I knew it, I'd spent like a half hour, 45 minutes reading all this stuff about how the Jews have been persecuted down through history. But then after I did that, I didn't feel very blissful and transcendental. I mean, I guess I learned something in one sense, and maybe wasn't a total waste of time. But you see, one thing goes to another. You know, you're thinking that, I'll just check this out. It's like, you know, that the example of the salesman trying to get his foot in the door. Maya's like that. Maya's like that salesman who tries to get a foot in the door. You know, I just had a little interest, a little curiosity, and I thought, okay, I'll check this out. And then before I knew it, I was checking something else out and checking something else out. Before I knew it, I spent a half hour, 45 minutes reading all these different things about how the, you know, Jews have been persecuted since the year, you know, 1000 AD or something like that. And as I said, it didn't leave me feeling very ecstatic and blissful. And I realized, whoa, wait, let me get back to the purport here. See, so to us, you got to be careful. To get back to answer your question, if you're, you know, instructed by an authority, great. And if you're not, be careful. Be careful. I'm not saying that you can't, you know, look at something that's not exactly right out of the Bhagavad Gita, the Bhagavatam, or the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and, you know, that you won't be able to use it in Krishna's service somehow, or that you're in total Maya. But be careful, because Maya is tricky and insidious. And, you know, as Prabhupada quoted Shakespeare, there's many a slip between the cup and the lip. You can get caught out. You can get caught out. I've had it happen to me many times, you know, with less good motive. I mean, you think you're just going to check out something a little bit, and then before you know it, you're wasting a lot of time in something that's completely mundane and you know, you fought, you've wasted time, and you're now in a more mundane consciousness. So be careful. That's what I would say. Any other questions or comments? Amal Bhakti Maharaj.
Thank you very much for a wonderful class. I just wanted to add just one point. You were speaking about Gramya Katha, you know, village talk, gossip talk, nonsense talk. So under that category, we have to realize that all these mundane movies that come out, especially at the end of the year, you know, the big so-called blockbusters, Star Wars and things of that sort, this is real Gramya Katha. And they do it so well that you actually begin to think that this is good. There's something valuable. Maybe we could do this for Krishna immediately. Well, wait a minute. What are they saying? What are they preaching? What is their thinking? What is their feeling? What is their expressing? Lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, all these feelings are being manifest through these characters. And we are becoming, as you just said earlier, we become saturated with that contamination. And we think actually it's harmless because, I mean, I know the Krishna conscious philosophy, but slowly but surely, as we become more covered by these types of false, wrong, evil feelings and thoughts and ideas which come out of the characters' mouths, we slowly but surely begin to mouth and express those same types of feelings. It's like sitting in a boat with the anchor down on the bottom, and you're rowing, and you're hoping you're going to get someplace, but you never get someplace because the anchor is on the bottom. Similarly, we come here, and we get all this wonderful katha about just as what you were talking about, Chaitanya Charitamrita. We see the glorious, wonderful deities in front of us, beautifully dressed. We hear the nice statements in the morning that Savas reads. Yeah. We get the association of persons who are dedicating their lives to serving, glorifying, loving Krishna and spreading that Krishna all over the world. What can be greater than that? We need to treasure it. We need to cherish it. We need to guard it, mm-hmm. as you were mentioning. Guarding it means don't get involved with these movies. Don't get involved with these crime stories on TV. Don't get involved with these sitcoms. All waste of time. It degrades us. It pollutes us and causes us to actually lose our perspective. And I know so many devotees, including myself, by the way. So I was a victim of this at one point in time. How I was distracted and diverted to the point where actually I began going to movies regularly. And then soon I was leaving the temple. Why? Because my attraction, my interest, my absorption became something else. And I began to think, that's good. And what's doing in the temple? Well, who really cares about that? This is a false, wrong idea or conclusion to come to. The conclusion is what's going on in the temple is the only real, true, beneficial, helpful, guiding thing. And if we take it seriously, as you said, if we cherish it, as we treasure it, as we embrace it as the all in all, something we should never want to lose, then Krishna makes sure that we are protected. He gives us the guidance, gives us the discrimination, gives us the fortitude and the strength to resist those horrible temptations that I just mentioned. Not so easy, because remember, we've all been raised on a diet of, you know, Saturday movies and chapters and cartoons, this, that, and TV mysteries, TV crime shows, TV, all that we've been raised on. So it's in the subconscious, and we had pleasure in association with that. So when we get an opportunity to reignite that pleasure, this is where the problem comes. Yeah. We have to think real pleasure comes from within. It comes from glorifying Krishna, surrendering to Krishna, thanking Krishna, begging for the blessings of Krishna, and feeling that we have the greatest of opportunities. And if we have this idea, then what happens? Inner joy, which comes from the heart, which comes from Krishna, dripping it into the soul, and the soul then feels that joy and then wants to, of course, express it through words, express it through actions, express it through interactions, and so forth. So thank you very much for...
Yeah, thank you for that great comment. I 100% agree with everything you said. And I'd just like to say, we shouldn't be touching that stuff with a 10-foot pole. And I'd just like to share with everybody one successful application of this. I'm enjoying, and I'll tell you what I'm enjoying. About a few months ago, Shamakun took this old iPhone I had, which doesn't work as an iPhone. I think I mentioned this in a previous class, but it works as an MP3 player. You know, I could listen to lectures on it. And because it has the powerful iPhone battery, it plays for like 10 hours continuously without charging it. So he kindly loaded all of Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita's lectures on it for me, chapter 1, text 1, all the way through. Every lecture Prabhupada gave on the Bhagavad Gita, I got on this little iPhone. Okay? And I just listened to it continuously. That's my... When I get back in the evening, when I'm finished for the day, 6, 7 o'clock, I put it on, and I just let the thing play. And I'm listening to it as I'm falling asleep. I'm listening to it. I'm hearing Prabhupada as I turn from one side to the other. If I get up to go to the bathroom, I hear it. As soon as I wake up in the morning, there it is. Boom, Prabhupada's talking on some verse in the Bhagavad Gita. It doesn't affect my sleep. I mean, it actually affects my sleep in a good way. I sleep better. I have better dreams, and I sleep better since I've been doing that. And I'm enjoying. I don't feel any inclination to go on YouTube and watch this video or that video. I don't own it. I mean, forget about television or movies. It's just because you got to have a higher taste, right? You know, panam vishtra nivartate. So this is a higher taste for me. Anyway, I mean, I'm a Prabhupada disciple, and I like it. I'm listening to these Prabhupada lectures continuously, and I like it. I mean, I'm enjoying hearing Prabhupada speak. That's a practical application of that. So it's just a suggestion for everybody. Something you could do, practically speaking, that'll help you become free from the addiction of watching television, watching movies, going on YouTube and watching this video and that. Because I guess it's kind of like an addiction. Like I'm a little bucktonish. I don't want to have a holier than thou. So I've been caught out too. You know, I was a basketball fan, so I've been caught out a few times. And start watching. Next thing you know, you're watching a half hour of like Michael Jordan's greatest shots or something like that. And then afterwards, you just feel like an idiot. But the more I do this, the more I'm taking shelter of what the exact program I just told you, the less desire I feel, or no desire to do that. I'm happy listening to Prabhupada from Bhagavad Gita 1, chapter 1, text 1, right through till 1866. Okay, I'm Lubak Bhakti Arjun.
Just one point to add to what you were just saying.
Sure.
You know, for devotees who are eager, to get dramatic narration or dramatic absorption, I mean, I put out all these different dramatic, dramatic narrations. Ramayana, you can get the whole Ramayana. I've recorded it. You can get in the Bhagavatam, the whole Prahlad Maharaj, the whole King Bharat, the whole King Ambarish. All of these are dramatically presented so that if you're missing the movies, you can get what we call old-time radio, which means in old-time radio, they played it and it was the theater of the mind. You saw it all inside your mind, and there was a certain relish and a certain pleasure in that. So all these different narrations, as I said, that I put out was for the purpose so that devotees don't have to go to that and they can listen. I get letters from so many devotees telling me that they listen to the Ramayana riveted. They don't want to turn it off because it's so suspenseful. And also the writer was very, very excellent. And so all in all, we don't have to go to those. We can get dramatic activity or dramatic literatures, dramatic narrations in a positive, transcendental way. We don't have to get it with the lust and the anger and the greed and the lower feelings, which will keep us in the same spot or going backwards.
Right. Exactly. Thank you. Thank you very much. Gantra Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Jai.
I wish I could just watch.
watch a movie where Lord Chaitanya is walking around and
the two movies, Nilachala Mahaprabhu and Nimai of Nadia.
Yeah, but it's kind of like
They came out. They're
like old, and it's,
well, they were produced while Prabhupada was alive. But we didn't become aware of them until after Prabhupada departed, so we didn't have the opportunity to get.
Is it? Does it like kind of grasp it?
I mean, and what's his name? Sringananda put them out on ITV. So I'd watch him once. I wouldn't watch him.
No, I'm talking about like a really cool, almost like a cartoon, but they look realistic, like pictures in the Chaitanya Charitamrita.